When you hear the story of the 10 lepers today, I hope you may have closed your eyes for a minute to see a vision of Jesus telling this story to you individually, and maybe a few followers around a campfire in the Palestinian desert, perhaps outside a small town like Nazareth. Luke is telling this gospel story to us, but it has all the earmarks of a story that he might tell about Jesus telling us that story. Perhaps Luke coming to that a few years after Jesus had left the disciples to carry on his work. And I can imagine that this story was repeated many times around a campfire on those journeys, or in a home around a fire that warmed the disciples and their friends on a cold night. You'll see in a minute where I'm going with this fire thing. It sounds very much like one of Jesus' parables. And some scholars actually believe that may have been the origin of this story of the 10 lepers. Parables are stories of power and deep meaning, which we today can hear as if it just happened yesterday. Now, I want you to think about who you are in this story. We're all in need of healing, and our faith will heal us. But when I count, there are only 9 here being the good followers, obeying the commands of showing ourselves to the priests. We at St. Martin's, all of us, are the 9. We do all the things that we're expected to do. We follow the prayer book. We sit, we stand, and kneel, and bow when we're supposed to, and sing when we are supposed to. We are faithful and balanced in our liturgy. We do as we are told through the Book of Common Prayer. But today, where is that 10th leper? Where is the one who did not do what he was told? The one who fell at Jesus' feet. The one who fell in love with God and wanted to give thanks to the one who healed him, body and soul. The one who followed his heart instead of the instructions. Think about who you know that might be, or who is in your life the 10th leper. The one who's so involved in giving thanks and glorifying God that he or she cannot be bothered with all the traditional stuff that we do as part of our worship tradition. Now, I don't mean to say that tradition and ritual is not important in our lives. I wouldn't be an Episcopalian if I thought otherwise. Those things are important, and we need them to give us a sense of belonging to a community, of a community of worship, a community of followers of Jesus Christ. It gives us a sense of comfort to worship in common, with the Book of Common Prayer as our guide. But there are a few of us who go beyond the traditions, who worship and praise God with more than the traditional prayers. Those who may be the louder in their singing. Those who may be a few beats ahead of us in the prayers. Those who may shout out their thank you to Jesus. Who may go that extra mile in giving to others so they may receive the gift of love and compassion from the very hands that Christ asks us to be to others. These are the ones we need to tell our stories about. These are the ones we need to reverently and respectfully in our own memories of Jesus in action in today's world, remember and tell the story of. They're the subjects of our campfire tales of love and forgiveness, of unselfish giving, peaceful appeals for justice, and loud proclaiming of the kingdom and praise of the God who shows us his mercy and grace. I'll tell you from my experience that if you want to see these people, these 10th lepers in action, in love with God for his mercy and gift of life, all you have to do is go attend a prayer meeting at the Union Gospel Mission in Fort Worth. There you will see many of those people. Because of that experience at the Union Gospel Mission, I am reminded of another story very much like that, of a whole chorus of these 10th lepers that I encountered several years ago in a small country church in England. Now, this was a little Norman church. It was built about 1080. And like many Anglican churches in England, had a very small Sunday attendance. But the vestry decided to fill some of those empty seats by asking the local home for mentally challenged persons, which was down the street, to bring a group each Sunday to be a part of the service, probably in the hope that something familiar would bring back good memories for these folks who almost never got out of their residence to see other people in the world. To their surprise and their wonder, the residents of this facility responded with joy and loud singing, most of it very close to the beat and melody of the choir. These people were full of joy that they were accepted and encouraged to participate. They got to share in something common and in common. They were being healed as surely as the lepers and were just as thankful loudly as the 10th one in Luke's gospel story. It's stories like this, as we hear them throughout our lives, that form a depth of meaning about who we are. They give us a connection with all of creation, and especially with the storytellers who pass along the wisdom, the storytellers of the gospel and the storytellers in your lives. I had lunch a few years ago with my brother and my cousin, and my daughter Liz came along, as she always likes to do. She was a little younger then. And we spent almost 2 hours, the three of us old guys in our 60s and 70s, telling stories about family and friends from long ago. Many of these stories made a point about who we are and where we get our guidance for life. A lot of them were about our parents. And when I asked Liz if she ever got bored with all this storytelling, many of which she had heard before, many times, she emphatically said, "No, that's how I learn about us as a family. We delight in our stories," Aristotle tells us, "because we learn from them. This search for awareness, this gathering the meaning of things, is," Aristotle says, "our greatest pleasure." Now, eons ago, we all sat around the fire in our Paleolithic caves, with the cold darkness and the great unknown at our backs, sharing stories about where the antelope herds were and how to escape the cave bear and the lion, and stories about our ancestors and the meaning of this magical mystery of life. None of that has changed. Stories still portray and share our experiences, teach us of the dangers and opportunities and of right and wrong ways of living, and change our visions of existence. They give us multiple lives because of those stories, and we gain awareness from each one of those. Our best stories are like the parables of Jesus. They point us in the right direction as they make us think about their meaning. We rarely now sit at campfires with danger at our backs. But it's important to remember that those days happened for a long time, and to understand the dangers that stalk us today. Now, some of the great storytellers of the world, Homer, Tolstoy, Victor Hugo, Hemingway, even our own Texan, Frank Dobie, are remembered today because their stories will help us gather the meaning of things. They will bring us the awareness tantamount to wisdom and make our lives freer and deeper through understanding. I like to think of the stories that Jesus told and that we hear from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, many of which we do call parables, as his way of reaching people who could neither read nor write. These people in the crowds needed to know the meaning, the true meaning, of the things that he was talking about. Jesus sometimes told parables to a crowd, like the multitude who shared his fishes and loaves, but more often to small gatherings of disciples around a campfire while on the road, or an evening meal maybe at Martha and Mary's house. In the tradition of Israel and with almost all other humans until modern times, the stories and parables are told over and over again, passed around from person to person, generation to generation, and sometimes around a fire at night. There's something compelling and mystical about stories by firelight. The day is at an end, and we're ready for a good story before bedtime. Many of us remember being impressed by the power of those stories told around fires at scout outings, at camp, or just by a family gathering around a fireplace. One of the great Texas storytellers, J. Frank Dobie, had an inscription burned into the massive oak mantelpiece in his ranch home, which read, "We sat around the great philosopher, the fire." As followers of Christ, we're called to remember the stories that Jesus told, because we are his family, every one of us. His stories, his lessons, his parables are our family heritage. His fireside stories are contained in the Gospels. We may gather around those gospel stories like we do around a family fireplace and learn from the stories told by our Lord and Savior. Our church, St. Martin's, is the family room where our heritage as God's children is revealed. Jesus is revealing the truth of the Word to us in his parables and his stories. Matthew 13 gives us an example of that. And it says, "Then the disciples came and asked him, 'Why do you speak to them,'" the crowds, "'in parables?' And he answered, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. This is why I speak to the crowds in parables. Although they see, they don't really see. And although they hear, they don't really hear or understand.'" And what he was saying there is, without my explanation through a parable. So tell your stories to your family, to your friends, to your children and your grandchildren, to all those that you want to hear and see and understand. I have a lot of them. And they all have meaning to me. And I'll repeat them from time to time. I love to tell those stories over and over again. So find your own stories that have meaning to you, and you will be the prophet who preaches the word to a world that's hungry for meaning, hungry for something to hold on to, and looking for the whereabouts of that 10th leper, hoping to hear that burst of joy and praise and thanksgiving from the one who is in love with God, healed and forgiven, made whole by mercy and grace. Tell the story of that person when you see and hear and understand for yourself. Amen.